If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 7, 1 Samuel chapter number 7, and we just got a little thought in our heart this afternoon. If the Lord will help us, we'll preach and do the best we can and get out of the way very quickly. And do you pray for us and pray with us as we try to proclaim God's Word? It's good to be saved tonight, isn't it? I'm thankful that God still saves old sinners, and thankful for all that He's done for us. And I thank everybody in this room. Yeah, everybody in this room means a lot to us, and I thank you so much for being here, and thank the Lord for what He's already done in our hearts. I'm not going to read this whole chapter, I'd like to, but in 1 Samuel chapter number 7, I'd like to read in verse number 5, and we'll read down to verse number 12, and just preach on just a very simple thought here in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. 1 Samuel chapter number 7 and verse number 5, the Bible says this, "And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day. And said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it up for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried and said unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him." Aren't you glad the Lord still hears us? I'm thankful for that. Verse number 10. And as Samuel was offering up a burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them, and they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Our Heavenly Father, God, thank You for saving us. God, thank You for letting us be able to come to Your house again and be able to proclaim Your Word. God, how unworthy we are to do that. But God, I thank You for the call on our life to do that. And God, I ask You to help us. Help us not to speak in man's words, but in Your words. And help us to say everything that needs to be said and nothing that doesn't need to be said. God, I ask You to help somebody this afternoon. And Lord, we'll just give You all the praise and all the glory. In Your name we ask it. Amen and amen. We come to a very familiar book here in 1 Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter number 7, a very familiar part of Scriptures and a very familiar man if you've been in church any length of time. And as we look at this, I know that Samuel had a godly mother that prayed and asked the Lord for Samuel. And she said, if I have a son, I will give him back to You. And that's exactly what she did. She gave him right back to the Lord. And you go to chapter number 2 and you can go to chapter number 3 and you can see the Samuel as he's growing up into the house of God, might I say. And Samuel and Eli is there and he hears the voice of God, and we don't have time to get into all that. But then in chapter number 4, we find that the ark of God is taken. We see that this section that we read in chapter number 7 is different than in chapter number 4 because Hophni and Phinehas tried to bring the ark of God against the Philistines and tried to bring victory when they were bringing it to Philistines. But Samuel brought victory to Israel by bringing the ark of the covenant and Israel back to the Lord. And if there's anything we need today is to bring the people of God back to the Lord. And if there's anything we need more is just to get back to what we know we need to be doing. And so they are bringing it back, and it is brought back in verse number 1 in the chapter number 7 in verse number 2. We see that it's brought back to the city of Abinadab, and his son and his dad are there, and they are housing the ark of God. And in verse number 2 it says this, in the very middle of the verse we see that it begins to tell us that the time was long. Now you come before and you see the ark of God was taken. It was about 7 months until they brought it back. Now, many of y'all Bible scholars know exactly why they brought it back, because they brought it to the house of their gods, and they put it up, and Dagon, their god, fell down, and then they put him back up, and he fell down again. And I just want to go on record to tell you this afternoon that my God is stronger than the world's gods. My God is more powerful than the gods of this world. And I remember we lived in Jacksonville just for a few years there, about 3 years in Jacksonville. And as we were living there, there was a Buddhist nun that came and lived right next to us. We lived on church property, and the church was right behind us. And a little nun, she came and she had her hair shaven. She stood about this tall, 5'2", had the robe on, probably black belt in karate. I didn't mess with her. I just let her go. And I remember she came in. Everybody on the neighborhood was scared to death of her because she was strange and she did things that were strange. And I remember one day as she had moved in and she was setting up this temple for these Buddhist people, and she had reincarnated 7 or 8 times, she said. And I remember knocking on her door and walking into the door there in her living room, what used to be the living room. And they had a Buddha sitting there on a shelf that was sitting there, and they had flowers around it. They had food that was sitting there around it. And I remember one day we were sitting in our living room doing something, and me and Candace were sitting there, and we heard a bell ringing. And Candace said, "Wonder what that bell is." I went outside, and they put a statue of Buddha outside, and this little lady was out there with a bell, ringing that bell. And there was 4 or 5 people walking around, and they're walking around this God, so-called God that they served. And curiosity got the best of me that night. After they got done with their little ritual, I guess, Brother Daniel, I walked over there. I could hardly hear in her broken English as she told me. She said that they were waking up their God where they could talk to them. And I remember I went back into the house, and Candace said, "What was that bell talking about? What was the bell doing?" I said, "Don't worry about the bell, Candace, because they were just waking up their God to talk to them." And I remember as I was telling her that, tears were rolling down my face and thinking, I'm thankful in the midnight hour that my God doesn't have to have a bell for us to wake him up, but we can talk to him anytime, any place, and anywhere. I don't have to bring food to him. He brings food to me. Hallelujah to God. My God is great. I don't know about you, but I just love him so much this afternoon. He is worthy of our praise because of how great our God is. They can take him anywhere. They can put him in any God. You can put him anywhere. And I promise you, he's more powerful than the world. Thank the Lord for that. Now, we come, the time was long, 7 months that they are bringing the ark of God back. They bring it to this city, and the children of Israel thought that bringing the ark of God back, everything would be okay. But things did not turn out that way. They still got the socks beat out of them in chapter number 4. They were still under captivity. They were still under the Philistines' captivity. And there was a time that was so long, they said that was 20 years before the house of Israel began to lament about and to the Lord. I wonder about us this afternoon. We've got all the great things. We have the Word of God. We have a choir. We have everything that seems like we should have the power of God, but it seems like we're having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. We have everything we should have. We have everything that we should be doing. But the time was long before they truly got after and they put their hearts to following after God. Can I go on record this afternoon to say that the time's been long enough for people that have been, we used to see. I've heard stories about it, and I've read it in books that hundreds of people got saved and thousands would get saved, and we would have a place packed out. They'd be listening outside and they would come in and get saved. Can I tell you, I'm 24 years old, and I want to go on record tonight to say the time's been enough. It's been long enough. I know they say it can't be done anymore, and our churches are getting smaller and smaller instead of larger and larger, but I still believe in a God that worked through Billy Sunday and through D.L. Moody can still work today, and I promise you it's been long enough to see. I want to see God's power. I want to see families changed. I'm tired of getting a phone call and people saying, "I'm leaving her and I'm leaving him, and this is going wrong and that's going wrong." It's time for us to get back and say, "Lord, we want you more than anything. We want the power of God more than anything." The time was long. Yeah, I say it's been long enough. I thought about this illustration. Sometimes we maybe get busy in our house and doing different things, and maybe we're doing this and we're doing that. And as we get, there's things that maybe we get undone. And one day, us as maybe you as ladies or you as men, y'all say, you know what? Enough is enough. We've got to clean this place. And today, I want us to say enough is enough. I'm tired of coming to church and not feeling the power of God. I'm tired of coming and preaching a sermon and just getting done and leaving and going eating on Sunday morning and coming back on Sunday night. Enough is enough. I want to see somebody saved every day, every service, see families put back together. You say, Brother McCullough, you're just 24 years old. You'll get out of it. Everything, you'll settle down. You won't want to see that anymore. This is 2018. God can't do it anymore. But I want to go and say, I know God can do it again. And I just want to trust Him and say, God still can save people every service. We still can baptize every time we walk in the door. Help us to remember and not get discouraged, to remember that God still can do it if we just start lamenting back to the Lord. My goodness gracious. Thank the Lord that we can. God still can. We see not only they begin to lament. Now, we found out also that the Lord, they put up a memorial that said, hitherto, the Lord has helped us. And it will be by the Lord's help if we get anything done. It won't be Aaron McCullough. It won't be you. If we're going to see the time and say this has been enough, it won't just be us saying this is enough and we're going to do it ourselves. It's going to be saying, Lord, what do you want me to do where you're going to start helping us again? Now, the children of Israel said this, and Samuel began to talk back to him. We ain't got time to go into every verse, but in verse number 3, here's what he said. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, that'd be the first thing, wouldn't it? I wonder how many of us have came to church tonight and we came just to come, but we didn't come with all our hearts. There's been many a times I woke up on Sunday morning. I had studied all night, it seemed like. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got up in the morning, you were tired, and you knew you got to preach 2 times that day and teach Sunday school as well. And as you're doing all these things, you just get in a hurry, and you just put half your heart into it because you know everything else is going to go on. I know we come to these meetings a lot, many of y'all do, and sometimes we just come to have a meeting. Can I say that's enough? Let's stop doing that. I know I'm young. I know I don't know much, and I understand that. But here's the thing. I don't want to come just to another meeting. I don't want tonight just to be another service, but I want us to put our whole heart into it and say, here's the time. We're going to do everything we can to worship God. We find out they put their heart. Then look what it said in verse number 3. They put away their strange god, Ashtaroth, among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse number 4, the children of Israel did. They put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. Then they gathered together at Mizpah. Mizpah was a place that was higher than the other, about 500 feet above where they were. They all met together, and it would be amazing if each and every one of us got together on one mind and one accord what God could do with us. Now, I agree completely with what Brother Eddie said this morning, that Brother David said this morning, we cannot link up with everybody and serve God. I understand that. But there have been so long that we have nitpicked on everybody, and we don't like this person because they don't do it this way, or this person don't do it that way. Why don't we just get back together and say, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to link arms with the things we can, and we're going to believe the Bible, and we're just going to follow after God, and lament and pray and turn from our wicked ways. Now, we see they turned. They gathered together. This scared the enemy. I promise you, the devil's pretty scared about what we're doing this afternoon. They get scared. Now the children of Israel are scared. They come back in verse number 7. As they hear about this, verse number 8, the children of Israel said to Samuel, we cease not to cry unto the Lord. Before that, in verse number 6 at Mizpah, they did this. They poured out water before the Lord. You say, Brother McCullough, what's so important about pouring out water? They fasted and poured out water. is this. I don't know if you remember when you were a kid. I know it hadn't been too long ago for me, so I remember this. I remember my chore and my lot in life was something that I hated very badly, was that it was my job to water the flowers or water the garden or something like that. Now, as I would do this, I know we didn't have flowers much, and we did have some, and I remember I would go out there, and I, you know how you're supposed to put the mist on or the shower, you know, you have different things. I remember as a little kid thinking, I hope these things die. I ain't never got to do this again. I would turn it on the jet and just spray them down and hope they just go down. Hey, I know your generation, older generation, love flowers. We don't like them because they're a lot of work. Somebody say amen right there. Now, as I was out there doing that, I have never thought of this, and this is what the Eastern culture thought of. When they poured out water before the Lord, there was no way. I never thought, you know what? I'm going to try to get every drop of water that I just sprayed on these flowers back up into a bucket where I can use it tomorrow. Never thought about that. When they poured it before the Lord, they said, we're turning from the wickedness, and there is no turning back. There is no regathering it back up. Many of us, we're good about saying we're pouring out water before the Lord, but then tomorrow we try to come back and get it all back in our bucket. Help, it wouldn't be good for us to say this. We're going to pour out the water, and we're just going to fast before the Lord, and we're going to give Him everything we have, Brother Coker. We're not going to give back. We're not going to hold back anything. We're going to give it back to Him. And then Samuel came and he gives a sucking lamb, and they said this, offered it to the Lord for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. That word holy means they did not take anything back to eat it. They kept everything and put it all to giving to the Lord. They cried unto the Lord for Israel, and guess what? The Lord heard them. Can God do it in 2018? Yes, He can. The Lord can hear us this afternoon. My goodness gracious, I'm thankful that the Lord sure can hear us. If we just give our sacrifice and say, Lord, I'm wholly yours. I'm not giving anything to the world. I'm turning everything to you. Look what the Lord did for them in verse number 10. In verse number 10, it says this, that the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Here's what had happened. They had came up. They're fixing, the Philistines are fixing to attack. Now, you have to remember, Israel has been under bondage for about 20 years. They didn't have weapons to fight. They had taken all those away from them. They had nothing that they knew that they could not fight against the Philistines. And as they were going, they said this. They said, Lord, we got to have you. It's without you, we can do nothing. And God sent thunder down from heaven. It was nothing that the Israelites did. It was nothing by their power, Brother Allen. It was nothing by their might. It was nothing in them at all. And they knew, the Philistines knew, when they heard this great thunder from heaven, that the God of the children of Israel and the power of the Ark of the Covenant that they remembered, they said, this is bad on us. And they got discomfited. They began to run this way and that way. And can I say, when we get the Lord on our side, there'll be no telling what God could do with us if we just go with the Lord. And God might send thunder from heaven. He might do it in a different way. But I know that God will use us in a great way if we just say, hey, I'm yours. I'm yours. Look in verse number 12 and I'm done. Verse number 12. Time's up. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shan and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The time was long. They said, you know what? Only the Lord could have done what He did today. Only the Lord could have done what He did today. And we're going to set up a memorial saying, here I raise my Ebenezer. It's nothing of us, but it's all of Him. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That hitherto means that in the past, they remembered back. They remembered when they came over the Red Sea. They remembered when God parted the Jordan River. They remembered all that God had done and that He had helped them this far and that He had helped them that day. But it didn't stop there. He said, I remember, I can read stories about D.L. Moody. I can know that God's helping us today because God turned that with us today. But in a world that says that old time religion has stopped and that nothing of God's word and preaching of God's word cannot go on, I know that my Lord is able to help us in the future. This is not a once done and done thing. Young people, don't get discouraged about not seeing people saved, because if God can do it then, He can do it again. And if God is doing it now, He's going to keep on doing it. I think about this church. I was raised here as a young person. I remember coming here, 8-year-old boy coming up, growing up. And I can look back into my past and see how God has helped this place. I look today and see a Bible college. I see a Christian school. I see a full house of people here tonight. And I see how God's helping today. But go on record, we come back next year, we can say God sure has helped us through this year. Every day I lay down at bed, I hope I can just preach this for a little while. Every time I lay down in bed and I see my wife laying down beside me, guess what? I know that God helped me in the past. He helped me that day. And He's going to help me and my son and my wife as we keep on going for God. He is our helper. Without Him, we can do nothing. Has anybody the Lord helped you before? How many of us this afternoon, we know that God's helped us in the past and He's helping us today. But go on record, He's going to help us tomorrow. Hallelujah to God. He's going to help us tomorrow. Thank the Lord for a God of help. Can you imagine as the kids grew up, the dad was taking them, Brother Trevor, by this rock, Ebenezer, and it was written on Ebenezer, and they said, I wonder what that means, Dad. He said, you know what? There was a time that we went a long time without the Lord helping us. It was a long time. We were very sad and depressed and discouraged, and we didn't know if God was ever going to help us again. But I remember we finally got tired of ourselves doing what we wanted to do. And we said, Lord, it's all about You. It's nothing about us. And they turned and he said, son, we turned to the Lord. We had nothing to fight. The Philistines were coming to destroy us and set us back in our place. But God helped us by sending a great thunder in above. How did that work, Dad? I don't know. But I know God did it. I don't know about you. Anybody ever had a time in that life? You say, son, daughter, wife, I don't know how God did it, but He did. I don't know how God can still work today, but I know that He can. God is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to remember God is our helper. Amen.